Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid. Live from the fashionable north side of Racine, Wisconsin, it's a low-effort podcast. Guys, games, and beer!
Yay!
Wow, really low effort this evening, guys. All right.
Hey, with us today, we have got...
Joel.
And... Tyler. Yeah.
27.
That's right. They're with Iron 27. They have a Kickstarter starting up with a game called...
Heroes of Shadow Guard.
That's right. You do know the name of your game. That's
good.
Wow,
isn't that great? That was impressive. They knew the name of their own game. So, before we get started talking about Heroes of Shadow Guard and Iron 27, we're gonna try something, a Point beer tonight. And I know Point is kind of a big brewery, but I like Point beer. So Point beer is out of Stephen Point, Wisconsin. And we're getting the seasonal beers around here in Wisconsin, and one of them is Point's Nude Beach, which is a summer wheat, and I mean, it's a wheat beer, man. If you look at this beer, it's a cloudy wheat beer. I kind of like wheat beers. I know a lot of people don't like wheat beers, but I'm okay with them, especially in hot weather.
There's a hop hanging out.
There's a hop hanging out in this one? All right, well, let's find out. All right, we're going to try this to see if it's any good.
Does it score points with Guys, Games, and Beer?
Ouch.
It sounded better in
Ooh. No, I'm not sure I like that. That is almost a sour wheat.
I think it's pretty good. It's kind of flavorless.
Oh, that's not very good for
me. That is not what any beer maker wants to hear.
Thank you!
But it's good for me because I don't like a lot of beer, and that I could drink.
Can we bring them up a little bit?
There you go.
So yeah, no, it almost tastes like it. I'm not sure it's meant to be a sour wheat, but to me it tastes like a sour wheat. It's got that little soury taste to it.
Very watery. I like it.
Oh yeah, so it is not you're right, it does not have much flavor.
It's not Miller 64, I mean.
No, but it's pretty damn close.
Is it on the low calories?
No, it is not a low calorie beer. It's all right. I mean, again, I suppose if you're sitting outside in a really hot day, I would drink it, but I don't think I would go out of my way to drink this one.
I actually don't think it's too bad.
All right, well.
I would order it in a bar.
Okay.
We're going to go vote.
Vote?
I'm up.
Okay,
I'm up.
Well, I guess I am in the minority here, though. It's more thumbs up than it is. I'm okay with it, but I wouldn't, again, nothing I would order out, actually.
I think if I was on the beach, I'd be okay getting naked with this thing.
Rob
that often happens with beer anyway.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Rob gets naked without the beer.
Larry should not be talking.
Yeah, speaking of which, Larry, who was it who decided Saturday was going to be shirtless Saturday at the campground?
You know, that just seems like a reasonable move.
No, not necessarily.
Actually, it's long... A Long Island iced teas make Larry take his shirt off.
Oh, that's what that was.
Is that what that was? Man, that was
Yeah,
kind
that
terrible.
Does happen.
That did happen. We were supposed to record an episode on Saturday, and that did not go so hot.
Well, be glad it didn't, because there was a way too much flesh showing.
Oh, it would have been beautiful.
Okay, so, well, I guess what we probably should get to is what we're really here for tonight, besides, we're here to drink beer. But while we're drinking beer, we are going to talk to the guys from Iron 27 and ask them about their new game called...
Heroes of Shadow Guard.
All right, so gentlemen, give us the synopsis of Heroes of Shadow Guard.
Sure, it's a multiplayer role-playing game. And the big thing that we're doing with it, it's a dungeon crawling game, but the big thing that we're trying to be different with is allowing players to design their own dungeons. So everyone's familiar with the Final Fantasy layout or other RPG games where you're crawling through dungeons and whatnot, and we thought it'd be really cool to allow players to actually make the dungeon that the other players get to run through.
All right.
And that's the big sticking point, and of course we've got a whole lot of other stuff to it.
All right,
so I have a question.
All right, Larry, and your question.
Well, as you're making stuff, one of the things I thought, well, you know, if you're protecting your own stuff, why wouldn't you just put the biggest, baddest monsters in all the time?
Yeah, that's definitely what you try to do. Now, you've got to work your way up to the biggest, baddest monsters.
So is there, like, a cost mechanics to that? Like, you may not have the riches for the baddest monsters?
Correct, yeah. So as you're raiding other players' labyrinths and killing their guards, you collect what's called what we call guard essence, and then you can use that essence to make your own guards, and of course the really powerful ones cost more.
So if you kill a fairly powerful guard, you have more guard essence to produce bigger and better monsters.
You got it. That's it.
Very cool. I like that idea. So besides the simple cost mechanics of building monsters, is there anything else where you have to gather other types of items, or is it is strictly a cost mechanic?
Oh yeah, no, there's a whole lot of, just classic RPG stuff where you start off with level 1 heroes, you collect a myriad of heroes, and then you have to gear them out, you have to craft your gear, collect your gear, find gear as you're raiding, and you've got usable items, health potions, mana potions, all kind of stuff, and of course, you know, when you're designing your labyrinth, it's not just about the guards that you're putting in there, there's a whole lot of it as far as creating like a really complicated maze to try to prevent people from reaching your loot chest. There's just a whole lot, almost like a Minecraft kind of element to it. There's a whole lot of directions you can go and a whole lot of creativity that you can use while you're playing the game.
So besides guards, I assume that you can put traps in. Besides using maze construction and guards, can you add traps as well?
Exactly. Yes, you absolutely can. So the two big things that you can add to your labyrinth are the traps, which, as you might imagine, you know, you run across the trap and you have to try to defeat the trap or dodge the trap. So there's some balancing going on there. And then we also have another core thing that we have is orbs, which are these floating spheres that augment your guards in their radius.
So that's basically how you equip a guard, is by giving them an orb.
Actually, your guards spawn randomly, but the orbs, so you could have, like, a health orb. And so any guards that spawn near that orb are going to have increased health.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I like that. Somebody today on Twitch, one of the developers, said, the more damn orbs, the better. Orbs, orbs, orbs.
Orbs, orbs, orbs.
Yeah, so the feeling is that orbs are a good thing.
Yeah, orbs are awesome. And they're easy to design for because it's just a basic spear.
So...
we have run into that before. Larry, say, I have a question.
I have another question.
All right.
Well, okay, so you said, okay, you gather materials and stuff attacking other people's dungeons. But what if people attack your dungeon and they fail? Do you get rewards for that?
You get what we're using, basically, the in-game trophy system. We use pendants. So if they attack your labyrinth and they fail, then you get a pendant, and then the more pendants that you collect, the higher you rank on the leaderboards. So you can earn a pendant by defeating someone's labyrinth, and you can also earn a pendant by successfully defending your labyrinth as well.
And I assume you get goodies, too?
On a defense, not currently. Now, we really try to incentivize offenses as much as possible just to kind of keep everybody playing. But defensively, unless I'm forgetting something, I think primarily it's pennants. You just basically to keep everybody balanced.
And talking smack.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you can get one really cool thing you can do on a successful defense though is we have a raid history feature where you can actually go and watch and see which direction the players tried to navigate your labyrinth, so you can see them running into the dead ends and the traps that you set up. Which is really cool.
So you can improve your dungeon then?
Oh yeah, you can constantly modify it. It keeps track. We also keep track of the stats of like how well one design works or the other. You can have multiple designs that you set up for it and just kind of toggle between them as you see fit.
Now I saw that you. I'm sorry, Larry. You said you would have a question, Larry.
I do.
Does each
player only ever just have one dungeon, or could you be managing several?
You just have one. Now, the cool thing is you do collect stone is another resource that you collect to upgrade your labyrinth. So you start with the level 1 labyrinth, and you can work your way all the way up to a level 6 labyrinth. And starting at lab level 4, you actually have multiple floors to work with. So you can actually set up staircases to go up to your second story and hide your chest on the second floor if you'd like.
Is level 1 like you get a brick?
It's pretty limited creativity with level one. I mean, you still can do quite a bit, but yeah, it's we allow you to get to level two pretty quickly.
So I see that, again, this was something I was wondering about, is combining dungeons with other people in your group, but when you form factions, can other people add guards to your dungeon?
Yes.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah, that's one really cool thing where you can go and request a guard, and then I can come and hook you up, and then whenever people have a battle encounter with the guards, you're a hell of a lot beefier because you've got extra guards in there.
That's cool. That way older players can foster new players and get them up to speed.
Exactly.
Now, I saw that this is multi-platform. Is it cross-platform?
It is.
So I can go beat up on my wife from my PC on her iPad.
Exactly. And you can hop on your PC, design your labyrinth, and then hop on the couch on your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever, and go and attack other players. You can do it all, and it all runs on the same server platform, and, you know, your account can use multiple devices as you see fit.
But do you have a better benefit with a bigger screen than you would on your phone?
Oh, real estate. Yeah, that's interesting. Screen real estate. Do you get an advantage by playing, say, on a PC or on your Mac versus whether you're playing it on your Android device or on your iOS phone?
The cool thing about it, the way we have it set up, is the more classic turn-based combat. So you can take your time, and you can take the time if you've got a smaller phone to make sure you're hitting the right button. And it's not going to be a huge deal if you don't have a 24-inch screen to do some real-time combat stuff with. So you're not going to be at any significant disadvantage using a smaller device. It might be more of a convenience thing to be able to see your labyrinth better on a big screen. But other than that, you can do everything on an equal playing field between devices.
Or you can get the new iPad 20-inch. Big-ass iPad. One of the things I think would be probably one of the more difficult... Man, could I really word that worse?
You
really?
Probably could. You could have.
One of the things that's probably pretty difficult to design is a game where you do design a dungeon. I think many games, one of the difficulties for me was that it was so difficult to get into the design phase of the game that I've only got so many hours in a day. Yeah. Is it fairly simple to design a dungeon and torment your friends?
It's incredibly easy. Very easy. It's not like starting a brand new game of Minecraft and you've never played Minecraft before and you're kind of like, what the hell do I do? it's a top-down view. And you're basically swapping out blocks. You either set the blocks to on or off in a sort of like a grid-based system. And it keeps it simple, but at the same time, there's a whole lot of room to be incredibly creative. If you want to spell your name out of the blocks in your labyrinth, if it's big enough, you can.
Okay, so that brings up the point. You said if it's big enough. So let's just say you're a level one player. What's the max size? Is there a max size on your labyrinth?
There is. As I mentioned before, level 6 is pretty much the cap currently. We might have updates where we give players even larger labyrinths. But starting at lab level 1, I want to say the grid, off the top of my head, I want to say is like a 9x8 or a 10x9, something around there. So you have 90 blocks that you can turn on or off based on what you want to do. But even in the smallest one, like I said, you go to lab level 2 pretty damn quick. You still can do quite a bit with just the 90 blocks in terms of, like, you know, trying to make people get lost in your labyrinth.
So is there a harder level? Because you said you get to level 2 pretty quick. Is there a level that people might get stuck on?
Since we're playing both sides of the game, it's kind of interesting. So you have, like, your labyrinth is level 1 through 6, but your characters, your heroes, they start at level 1 but can actually go all the way up to level 60. And there's typically, you know, multiply by 10, and that's about where you should be. So if you have level 30 heroes, more than likely you're raiding a level 3 labyrinth, and you should be fine. But if you go take on a level 6 labyrinth and all your heroes are sitting at level 15, you're probably going to die.
Okay. Can you, if you are just, let's just say you're interested in just playing the hero one, do you have to build a labyrinth? Can you just play a hero?
Yeah, so you collect several, you collect over a dozen heroes, actually, and typically you're going to be using three of them at once. So turn-based system, think like Final Fantasy, some of the other RPGs. You take turns in between the heroes. You can, if you want to just play the campaign, or you want to just be the offensive part of multiplayer, you can, but your labyrinth will be there for other players to attack regardless. So you want to at least get your lab designed before you strictly focus on more of an offensive approach.
Okay, and the labyrinth is basically where you're hiding your treasure and hold, where it's basically your holding area for whatever your goodies are. Okay.
Make sure to hold your goodies there, Tom.
I'm holding my goodies extra
time. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How easy is it to find other people's labyrinths?
It's a couple touches. You hit the attack button, then you hit conquest, and it's going to show you three different people that you can attack. It'll show you the guards that they have equipped. It won't show you any of their design, obviously. And if you're not happy with those three, you just hit search again, and it'll show you another three.
What if I just like want to find like my friends?
You don't have any friends, Larry.
We have.
Well, if I did have friends,
if you wanted to find your friends, we have a friend functionality to chat or send them messages or whatnot. But you can also, if you wanted to just have a custom match, we have that, which is really cool. That's a big thing. A lot of streamers have been asking us for. You can challenge a specific person or a specific group of people to see if they can take on your labyrinth. And you take theirs on, and then there's a score system, and you see who's the best.
Tom, oh, okay. Exploded.
I did just cut a beep.
So, yeah, if you wanted to, challenge Rob to a duel, you could design the labyrinth, he could design his, and then y'all would take each other's lab on.
Yeah, we have a grudge match going, so.
Oh, but Larry cheats at everything, so he'll figure some way to cheat at this game as well.
There's no Konami code, is there?
What's that? No cheat codes currently, no. Got a couple Easter eggs peppered in there. No cheat codes yet.
Okay, so just something for our listeners. There are some Easter eggs you need to look for. All right, so let me ask you a little bit more about your company, Iron 27 Inc. How long have you guys been around?
We've been at it now for a little over a year and a half. This is actually our first game.
All right. So,
I had thought maybe this wasn't your first game just because the website and a lot of things looked really well developed and professional.
Well, I appreciate that.
I've got to say, that's why I asked about how long you were around. This is, this is a fairly large project. We know a lot of developers, and this is a fairly large project to come out as your first project.
It's super ambitious. It did not start out. Taylor and I actually started coding this in Unity ourselves, or just trying to build it in Unity ourselves, and I realized, okay, this will never happen without several more people in the mix. And we originally budgeted 10 to 12 months for it, and here we are at month 19. but I have web design background, so that's where I was coming from, and so it helped out a little bit getting some of the website stuff done and looking a little more polished than maybe it normally would.
Well, that was, and you just answered one of my questions, was what was your development platform? So using the Unity engine on this?
Yes.
Again, great one for doing game development. It really is. And again, like you said, when you have to do the orbs for your equipping objects, that really makes life a whole lot easier. See, because that's the base object for the Unity engine.
Yeah. create object sphere.
Yes, exactly.
Thank God.
Thank God for that one.
Ship it.
Who did all the artwork on your monsters? I enjoyed the monster dance, by the way.
We got a lot of our 3D assets from the Unity store, and we have three very talented artists that work here, and we typically, anything that we get from the store, we make in-house. Obviously, we put a whole lot of, customization into the characters and into the textures and everything else. But as far as the guards themselves, most of those are purchased assets that we went and redid and polished the textures to get them to our liking. As much as we can get away with keeping it cross-platform anyway. Most of the guard textures are fairly low res, but unless we want the game to be 10 gigs, it's just one of those things we kind of have to settle with.
Alright.
We're passing beers.
Yeah, sorry about that. The pregnant pause here was us looking for what beers we had floating around.
That was not an incorrect answer.
It's because Tom was not happy with Nude Beach.
I do not like the Nude Beach. It's again, it's okay. It's just a little bit sour for me. But the Big O, now there's a beer.
Now, we took your advice. We've got a bottle of Canebrake in our hand right now.
Ah, good.
Which one do they have?
It's Canebrake. It's Louisiana. It's a wheat ale.
Okay, so wait a minute. I'm going to have you one more time. Who's the brewer?
It's Paris Brewing Co.
Okay, Paris Brewing Co. Are they local to you guys?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Well, Louisiana's a big state. Are they are they like a local brewery or are they a Louisiana brewery?
Hang on.
What?
Now you did it.
Broussard, Louisiana. Broussard.
All right. And so one more time, the beer was?
Canebrake. It's amazing.
All right. So you guys both give that a thumbs up, I take it.
Yes, and we're
double thumbs up.
We're typically whiskey drinkers, but if we're drinking beer, this is one of the few.
You can never lose when you're drinking whiskey, trust me.
Well, you can lose, but you don't care.
Yeah, but we don't care after we've been drinking whiskey. I'm a JMO man, so.
Oh, right on. Nice.
All right. So, but now is Canebrake available outside of Louisiana? I've never seen it before.
I would hope so, but I'm not really sure, honestly.
I will have to look that one up.
They're definitely up and coming over here. In Louisiana, at least, they're starting to make headway, getting into a lot of bars.
Yeah, we are always looking for new beers around here.
Yeah,
not like there's enough Wisconsin beers, but there's just so many good beers.
Yeah,
and not enough hours in the day. I drink at work
okay,
and it's not
good news.
What?
I've made it to a beer.
What beer do you have, Larry?
Saranac, remember that brand we
reviewed? We reviewed that.
Well, they got their summer package out, and the one I'm working on is Gin 4, a session IPA.
And the verdict?
Quite good.
Did you like the sound effect there as he smacked his lips?
Man.
Okay, so, but it's quite good. Okay, their beers were quite good, actually. The last batch we had from them was good, too. So, but that he did that very stealthily. I did not hear him pull over. I did not hear him get out of the car.
He didn't.
And go into a
box. He did none of those things.
Okay.
All right. Sidetracked.
Yeah,
probably
okay.
Sidetracked by beer, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
Admittedly. However, I do want to ask, how is the Kickstarter process for you?
It's interesting. It's really not bad. They have a very easy to use setup. Almost too easy because they don't give you very many customization options as far as creating the Kickstarter itself. But the process is fairly painless.
Okay.
I guess the big thing is the time that you have to put into it. It cracks me up sometimes when I see these Kickstarters for guys asking for $300. And you can tell they put 2 months into creating their Kickstarter. I just want to go, why not just go, you know, work a job or something to get that 200? I don't understand what they're doing. But it's definitely a time-consuming thing just to get the video right and get everything polished. Just the little 3-minute video we have on our Kickstarter, it's got 150-plus layers and After Effects and everything else going on. There's just a whole lot to it. But, the cool thing about it is it's really hard to get the word out, especially when you're an indie developer like we are, and Kickstarter's free. So even if we don't make the Kickstarter, at least we got some eyeballs on our game, and so hopefully people will check it out once we launch.
Well, talking about the Kickstarter, I'm going to have you give out your Kickstarter address right now, which is?
Go to Kickstarter.com and Google Heroes of or search Heroes of Shadowguard.
We will have a direct link on our website, and we will have a direct link on this episode.
You could also go to shadowguard.com, which is our website, and then just click on the Kickstarter link. That's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, Kickstarter has like a 47-page key, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's,
they do.
It's ridiculous. I figured it had to be an error when I looked at the URL. But no, it's legitimately, it's probably like 90 characters. So yeah, it would take forever for me to spell it out to you.
Their SQL database failed years ago. It's just spitting out random crap now.
Yeah, it is. But we will have a link on our website to your Kickstarter. And also, you guys are doing a green light on Steam right now.
Exactly, yes.
So which we will also have a link to, but you can also go to their website, which again is?
Shadowguard.com.
And you guys have a link to the Greenlight project, or the Steam Greenlight there as well.
We do. And we also have, if any of your listeners want to get a beta key, I just added, right before we hopped on the podcast, I added a link there to request the beta key. We're fixing to be in beta, hopefully in a couple weeks, and we'd love to let you guys test it out.
Oh, I am betting you will get our users are the biggest bunch of mooches ever. You are going to get flooded with
bring
your
it on,
keys.
Bring it on.
Oh, yeah, we give away crap all the time on our website and on our Twitch and on our Steam, and I'm sorry, our Twitter and Facebook page, and man, people just go for that stuff.
I'm surprised they never complain okay. with some of the stuff we give away.
They don't care. It's free. We give away some real dogs. Let's go put it out there now.
This okay, is not well, a real dog, however. Sorry, Larry.
Sorry, Larry. Okay. For now, obviously, entry to getting this game is going to be the Kickstarter. But ultimately, is this going to be you buy the game and you're done? And because it's multiple platforms, is the person going to be able to log in from multiple machines, or you'd have to buy a copy for each machine, or?
It's free to play. So it's free to download for your phone, for your PC, for everything. And, you know, just to put everybody at ease, we give you a whole lot of content. You can do, basically, if you end up spending any money on the game, it's strictly because, you want to go super hard and progress very quickly. We give players a tremendous amount of content for free, and of course, yes, you can log on between your different devices and hop on the same account without any kind of issues, and that's actually one of the benefits of having a free-to-play game. We don't have to manage having to make sure your license transitions over to your mobile device or your PC and whatnot.
Another 47 character key, of course.
Of course.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even better yet, guys, not only this is a cool game, this is
yeah,
a pretty cool
yeah,
game.
Yeah, it's free to play, so yeah, we're right up your alley.
Oh yeah, again, I told you, our audience is the biggest bunch of mooches ever, and they are going to love the fact you just said this is free to play.
This is why we're the most popular gaming podcast in Wisconsin with a guy named Larry.
Yeah, with a guy named Larry, because he loves stuff that's free to play.
I see that.
Yeah, audience abuse.
All right, so, anything else you guys?
I have another question.
All right.
I have another question.
What you got?
So the single player mode, is that a lot of this sounds I go and I attack other friends and or attack other people, and that's kind of the multiplayer aspect. And single player mode, is that a fixed story that has sort of fixed dungeons that you sort of crawl through?
It's exactly right. One really cool thing about single player and the campaign mode is for multiplayer, like I was saying, we kind of have to cap players at a certain size labyrinth just so it's not ridiculous to where you're spending hours upon hours trying to navigate someone else's dungeon. The campaign, on the other hand, especially toward the later levels, we can get pretty epic with the designs of the labyrinth. So instead of a 12x11 labyrinth, you're navigating a 30x30. Get pretty epic in terms of size and whatnot. So there's a lot more depth to it. There's a lot more time you can spend going through the campaign and unlocking new heroes. And the story is based around Aiden and Emma. They're twins. Alaric, who is another one of our main characters, and Vera, Queen Vera, who transitioned her soul into her pet owl, and she is your guide throughout the game in owl form, showing Aiden and Emma and the rest of your heroes where they need to proceed to go along the single player campaign. So there's a whole lot going on with the game on multiple levels.
And I have one more question on the multiplayer aspect of things. Are your dungeons, can they be attacked when, so to speak, you're not home? Like, you're not online?
Yes, they can. So basically, you get your labyrinth all set up exactly how you want it. You do have a shield. So just to prevent people from attacking you back-to-back, so you get attacked every 30 seconds or whatnot, we've got a shield in place. So once you're attacked, if that attacker successfully reaches your chest, it's going to set up a shield for you to where you can't get attacked for another 12 hours.
Do
you have any kind of notification system that even if you're offline, it will notify you you've been attacked and that you've been raided?
Yes. If you allow push notifications, then you will be notified. So you can't, obviously when you first log on, it's going to let you know you were attacked a couple times, you were attacked. It'll let you know how you fared on the attack. But yeah, if you're offline and you get your cell phone on you or your iPad or whatever, it'll flash a notification on you to let you know that you've been attacked.
Again.
So you're in your corporate meeting and you get a notification. Your dungeon just defended itself. And you're like, yeah!
Yes!
Yeah. Exactly.
Larry's driven this morning.
Is there a rough age group for that this might appeal to?
You know, the crazy thing is we designed it for, like, old-school Final Fantasy fans, turn-based RPG fans, more like the, you know, Super Nintendo, Sega generation. That was really a lot of the inspiration came from a lot of games in that generation. But what's crazy is when we demoed it at PAX and we demo it at the different local expos and whatnot, man, the 6 to 12-year-olds eat it up. I don't know if it's the turn-based combat. I don't know if it's the colors. But, man, the kids, their parents are trying to go to look at another booth, and they can't pry them off of it. it's really something to see. But, it's really for people of all ages. We've had people mid to late 30s, 40s, love the game, all the way, obviously, down to grade schoolers. So it's a pretty wide demographic.
And unlike Call of Duty, you don't have to quake in your boots when you see the 8-year-olds coming on.
Dang straight.
Yeah, I know. Those little, they talk so much shit, but they're so good.
Oh, I hate them. We just quit out, man. It's not even a rage quit. It's just a statistical quit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Rob, any other questions for these guys?
No, we got the website. You did your job.
I did. Thank you. And I'm going to do it again.
Yes, and I do want to know when's the official release date? It's coming up soon. I know you're. I wanted to make sure we got you in before your Kickstarter ended.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. The going joke at the office is that we're permanently 2 months out. But no, honestly, I think we're about 2 months out.
All right, about 2 months out. Okay. So, and again, one more time, your website for our listeners is
ShadowGuard.com.
All right, and you can find links to their site on our site, as well as to their Kickstarter site and their Greenlight on Steam. They have links on their site as well, so make sure to hit on those links. Looks brilliant. And again, hey, wait a minute. It's free, okay? It's free. Not like you're going to be... But that being said, you could help fund their Kickstarter.
Because it'd be a nice thing to do.
Yeah, because they've got nice goodies when you do fund their Kickstarter.
We would certainly appreciate it, and any help... you guys can help spreading the word and let your friends know about it. We certainly appreciate it.
We might torment each other with a stream one of these nights.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I wouldn't mind raiding your dungeon, Tom.
Ooh,
yes.
Promise?
Exactly. We got custom set up just for you guys. We can even give you, we'll give you an early version of the season.
Yeah, I think we need to twitch this one out.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
All right. Okay, Larry, do you have any other questions for them?
No, kind of excited to see this one in play, but I don't have any other questions.
Did you get a chance to see the video, Larry?
I did watch the video and I liked it. I want to get my hands on it.
Yeah, that's me too. It's like I need to be playing this one.
Yeah, it got me going.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm in.
Awesome.
All right. So,
what, you really want me to close it out?
Yeah, just close it out, Rob.
I wish it would never end.
How about you guys? Do you wish this would never end, really?
It does feel like it'll never end, doesn't it?
Oh, good, yeah.
All right, well...
I have full access to beer now, so hey, do what you want.
Well, now that Larry has access to a beer, I suppose we'll wrap it up before he gets obnoxiously drunk. Thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We do love that you do. Remember to check out our website at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. On Facebook, it's www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. Remember, we give away games regularly, and all the latest Guys, Games, and Beer news is sitting there on Facebook, unless we're being really lazy like we were last weekend.
Yeah, but that was last weekend. You gave away a really decent game this week.
I did actually give away a good game this week. Just to mess with people.
All right.
Throw them off.
I know.
And on Twitter. You got at Guys Games Beer. No and there because, you know, Twitter's kind of cheap with them letters. Twitter. Twitters.
Twitters.
And on Twitch, it's Guys Games and Beer. Sometimes we Twitch old episodes. Sometimes we Twitch what we're playing. Sometimes we just sit there and Twitch.
Twitch.
Bye all, see you next week.
Get up!